Well, I have 3% remaining. Hurry up.
Okay. Better teach fast. Let's go to 1 John, chapter 3. Going to look at love and kindness today. 1 John 3, verse 23. That's the first epistle of John. It'd be page 1716. if you have my Bible. And this talks about the commandment.
323.
Yeah, 323. The commandment to the church, because we know we're not under the law anymore. So we don't have to go through all the things in Leviticus and all the sacrifices and all the bloody stuff.
Yeah.
Because that old covenant has been closed out. There's a new one that we're participating in. And verse 23 says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So that's our commandment. First is to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to know everything that there is to know about Jesus Christ. And everything we learn, we want to believe. Okay? We've already believed to the point of getting saved. We believe that God raised him from the dead. And we want to keep learning everything there is about him. And to love one another as he gave us commandment. And John, who wrote this, was present at the Last Supper. And it was after the Last Supper that Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment." And let's look at that in chapter John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, in verse 34. John 13, 34, page 1511. And this is after he washed their feet, after Judas left on his errand. And in verse 34, Jesus told the remaining ones that were there, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So it's a new commandment. So it's not the same as the old commandment, which was to love your neighbor as yourself, right? It goes actually beyond loving your neighbor as yourself. It goes to the extent of loving one another as Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Would you be willing to give your life for any other believer? We should be. We should be willing to give our life for any other believer. And to love one another, and that's to all of us, it's a commandment. It's not just a suggestion. It's not a commandment with a penalty that if you don't do this, you're out of here, but it's still commanded to us. To love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. And when people that are not believers see us loving each other in this way, they'll notice there's something different about those folks. They really care about each other. They're really kind to each other. They really love each other. And they might even be curious as to, how can I get in on that? That sounds pretty good. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, because it says we're to love one another as Jesus Christ loved his guys that he gave his life for, and all of us. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1 and 2, it says,
page
1649 is the page number. But in Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Jimmy, do you like to imitate your dad sometimes?
Oh, yes. The good and the bad.
Yeah. If Dad does it, I'm gonna do it. And it's easy to imitate your father, really, because his DNA is in you, right? So all the characteristics of your father are within you. So imitating your father kind of comes naturally, right? It says, "Be therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children." And the word dear means is that you're loved. Children that are loved. And then verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." So he not only loved those men that he knew that were his disciples at the Last Supper, but he loved all of us, right? And continues to do so. "As Christ hath also hath loved us and hath given himself for us." Again, that sets the standard for that love. We're to walk in the same love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And when you read offering and sacrifice, if you've read the Old Testament, it brings to mind there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of, you know, a lot to go through regarding a sacrifice. And he did that. There was blood. There was a lot of bloodshed. But he did it willingly. You know, when the animal was sacrificed, it didn't have a choice, did it?
No.
It usually went along with it, because they only sacrificed domesticated animals. They were obedient to their owners. They were trained. And so they weren't wild animals. They didn't have to, like, take the jeep and lasso a wildebeest and then wrestle it to the altar and, you know, slay it there. They would say, you know, a calf or a lamb, you know, of a year old or so, and they would sacrifice it there at the altar. And Jesus Christ, did he fight against the people that were trying to kill him? No, he didn't try to defend himself. He didn't say, "You jerks," you know.
He just kept reminding them who he was.
Yeah. He kept his mouth shut as they were accusing him. They kept railing on him and trying to humiliate him, but he kept his mouth shut. He encouraged other people around him, like the malefactor that was hung next to him. "I'll tell you right now, you're gonna be with me in paradise." Talk to the women there, you know, said, "Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. You know, there's some stuff coming you got to be prepared for." You know, he encouraged everyone throughout the whole thing, and he took it because he knew that was his purpose. He said, "For this purpose I was spared." So he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, verse 1 starts, it says, "Be ye therefore." And that means there's some things preceding this that might help us to understand what it means to walk in this kind of love. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, that leads up to this, it gives a lot of good practical instruction and really explains things. The very verse before, verse 32, says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I want to pay a lot of attention to that verse, but I want to read the verses that lead up to it. And I want to go all the way back to verse 17, where it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now, this is written to the faithful in Christ Jesus, right? But that faithful doesn't mean they were necessarily doing everything right. They were called the faithful in Christ Jesus because they believed. They were saved. So they had fulfilled that first commandment to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what follows that is to love one another, right? So he's going to give them some instruction. He said, again, 17, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. They're completely empty as far as understanding spiritual matters. Verse 18 says that they have the understanding darkened. They don't see the light. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You've learned differently. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. And that's conversation doesn't mean you're talking, but your whole manner of life. It does include what you say, but also how you act, how you conduct yourself. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that's your old self, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And that's talking to all of us. We're all started out corrupt, right? We didn't start out good. We started out bad and we were saved. And God made us righteous. He, you know, he didn't call us because we already were. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, that's the body of Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, so that the people that this is written to, the faithful in Christ Jesus, some of them were still lying, right? Otherwise, you couldn't put it away, could you? You can't put away something that you don't have. So put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Don't allow yourself to sin, even if you're angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't stay angry more than a day. Settle it that day. Neither give place to the devil, because if you do, let that anger simmer. It does give place to the devil. He can get in there and cause damage. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Just stop doing it now. Now, he didn't say, let him that stole pay for his crimes, does it? There might be some civil penalties, yeah, if you get caught stealing. But it just says stop it, because we're in the age of grace now. God says he doesn't hold our sins against us. He doesn't say, okay, you stole, now you're going to have your hand cut off. He just says, stop doing it, starting the moment you read this. You know, don't do it anymore. No more. But rather let him labor. Get a job. Do some work. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So not only just to pay your bills, but to help somebody else out too. God wants us to earn enough money that we not only have our needs met, but we are in a position where we can be helpful to other people. You know? Yeah. We have a bathroom through there. That way. Go around the bed. No, keep going that way. On the other side of the bed, there's a bathroom. Okay. So he wants us to prosper to the point where we're in a position to help others. That's the goal. It's not just to get your need met. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, what's corrupt communication? It's corrupt is the word rotten. And it means, you know, anything that would tear down, insult, cause damage, whether it's insulting the person that you're talking to or someone that's not present. that can do damage also. Complaining about other people. It's just don't let it proceed out of your mouth. So before you say it, you have to build up a filter. In some cases, a firewall. that you just don't let it out. You don't let it come out of your mouth. It's best if even you're not thinking this stuff. We're supposed to think things that are true, honest, lovely, of good report. There be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things, says in Philippians 4. So, but do not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just refuse to do it. But here's what comes out of your mouth. That which is good to the use of edifying. The word use is important here because the word use is related to the word for to be kind. In verse 32, where we're getting to. To be kind to someone is to make yourself useful to them. To do things that are beneficial to others. And it's not just saying it with a smile, but actually being kind, doing things. It's not just how you say it. It includes how you say it. If you do something for somebody grudgingly, complaining all along the way, saying, don't ever ask me to do this for you again, that's not kindness, is it? So we want to go all the way with this. To the things that come out of our mouth should be useful. To edify. That if someone hears the words you say, it should build them up. It should be helpful to them. Oh, I can use that. Those words are useful to me. That helps me. That builds me up. That not only to make someone feel good, but to speak the truth about them. When you tell someone, look, you have Christ in you. You have abilities. You have privileges. That's useful information, right? And it's encouraging, too. It builds people up. So it's not just like flattering words to make people feel good, but things that are useful as building blocks in their life, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Minister grace. You're serving when you speak. That's what we're all supposed to be doing all the time. Not just now and then, and not just at a fellowship, but at home. With your family, your wife, your children, at work, with the people that you work with. We don't want to be insulting, complaining at work. We want to be still ministering grace to the hearers, no matter who those hearers are, but especially to one another as believers. But sometimes you don't know that person's not a believer, because not every believer is open about it, right? But still, they could be born again. It's like my dentist. I went to him for years, and at one point he found out I was a Christian. He said, I didn't know that you were a Christian. I said, well, I don't talk a lot because my mouth is full.
Dr. Inch?
Yeah. I'll talk more to the hygienist as she's getting me prepped. But by the time the doctor's there, he's poking around in my mouth, and I'm not doing much of the talking. But there could be a lot of people that you are in contact with that are believers. They believe in you. They're born again. And we're to do this for one another. Even if they're not acting like it, well, you should. This isn't written for us to criticize other people for not doing these things. This is written for those that read this to say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So our words should minister grace unto the hearers. In verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If we don't do these things, God's not going to get rid of us. But we can cause him grief because he's not going to get rid of us. Right? We're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have eternal life. God will not revoke that because of our behavior. We could screw up big time, and God is still our Father. He does not dismiss us. Old Testament? Yeah, he could. He could fire, like if a prophet disobeyed him. You know, there's one prophet that did some great things for God, but then he disobeyed God. And a lion killed him, that day. A prophet of God could get fired. A son of God cannot. Our relationship with God is not based on our production. It's not based on our behavior. It's not based on our performance. We didn't get in because we were so great. We're not going to be kicked out because we're not that great. We were saved because, you know, we heard the word of God and we believed it. And God saved us. The whole need for salvation was because mankind, all of Adam and all of his children, were failures on their own, right? So we weren't saved because we were so successful. We were saved because, you know, we needed to be saved. And God was so kind to save us. And now that we are saved, well, here's how I want you to be, especially towards one another. I want you to be like I am. God wants his children to be like him. Jesus Christ was the prime example of a child imitating the Father, where he said he was the express image of God's person. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he entirely imitated God in his love, in his power, in his wisdom, his tenderness, you know, all those things. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because, you know, when he sees his children not loving each other, when he sees his children hurting each other, you know, he can't just take the offender and say, you're not my child anymore. That offender is still his child, and he loves him. That other one that was offended might be so angry at the other one, but he's commanded to forgive and to continue to love and be kind. So let's not grieve God, because he is indeed stuck with us. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The word put away, it's like lifted up and removed. It's like a burden being lifted and putting on someone else to carry it away for you. That's what the word means. So if you're burdened with bitterness or anger, you know, or clamor, that's someone who's a yeller. Reminds me of my uncle when I was growing up. He was always yelling. Yelling at his kids.
That was my dad.
And even though he didn't yell at me, I was still scared to death of him, because I heard him yell at his kids. And it's like, Uncle Bob's coming, brace yourself. We had to love him, he was family. But he was a scary guy. So let all bitterness be taken away from you. You have a problem with bitterness? You're bitter towards somebody? Bitter towards life? It can be taken away from you. You're not stuck with that. You're not stuck with bitterness. You're not stuck with being angry. That can be taken away. Wrath and anger. There's two words that mean anger. You know, one means like you seethe, you burn, and the other one means like you blow up. They can both be taken away. And clamor is the yeller, you know. Evil speaking, that's the word for blasphemy. And if it's speaking against God, it's called blasphemy. If it's talking about another person, it's usually called slander. You know, something that would damage another person's reputation. If it's to their face, it's an insult. If it's while they're not present, it's gossip. You know, but it's evil speaking. And all these things can be taken away from you. With all malice. Malice is everything bad. Everything bad can be removed from you because it's not any longer part of you. It might be part of your old man nature. But it says that we're to put off the old man. In Romans, it talks about considering the old man dead. In Colossians, it talks about the old man being buried. Right? So if your old man is dead, you might as well bury it. Just put it away and say, that is no longer me. Because what's me now is Christ in me. I've been changed since I've been born again. I have the Spirit of God in me. And then, once all these bad things are removed from you, what's left? Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Be is become. So if you're not already that way, don't worry about it. You can become kind. And kind again means useful to others. When Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you. Yeah. He said, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The word easy there is the same word as kind here. When you're kind to somebody, you make things easier for them. People will love to be with you because you make things easier. You're not work for them to be with you, right? You're an asset. You're a blessing. You're a benefit to be around because you're kind. You're always looking, well, what can I do to help? And not only looking what I can do, but really what is going to bless this person? You know, not just what I want to do for them, but what is going to bless this person? What will be helpful to them? And walking with God on it, because you have the Spirit of God, can help you to be kind. You know, it's actually one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's part of love, to be kind one to another, useful, making life easy for others, and tender-hearted, where, you know, there's a sweetness of disposition. You're tender-hearted towards people. It's having good emotions towards people, where your just heart yearns to be with those people. You want to help them. You're happy to make them happy. Where it's not, okay, I'm making you happy, now I got the short end of the stick and you got the long end of the stick. No. I'm so blessed that you're blessed. I'm so blessed that I can contribute to your happiness. And genuinely so. And then forgiving one another. What do you do when the other person isn't doing this? What if you're the only one who's being kind? Well, you're blessed for being kind. Okay? And then what you're told to do is to forgive that other person. Well, what if they really hurt you? Well, that's the only time you need to forgive them, right? You don't need to forgive somebody if they didn't do anything wrong. Right? And the word forgive is the root. There's two words to forgive. One is to release somebody of your anger and you're wanting to get back at them. Okay? You release them. Release them from a burden or a debt because of what they did. But there's another word, and that's this word, it's charizomai. The root of it is charis, it's grace. And it means to do somebody a favor. For example, if someone owed you money and they couldn't pay it back, you can say, well, let's make it a gift. You know, you don't have to pay me back. That which I had given you, that you owed me, you can't pay it. You know, I'm not going to hold it against you the rest of your life. So let's make it a gift. No, I just gave it to you. As a giver, what's going to happen to me?
You're blessed.
Oh, I'll get blessed back. As you give, you receive, right?
Yeah.
Now, as a creditor, that's not going to get his money back. Is there any blessing in that?
No.
No. So if someone borrowed from you and can't pay it back, you know, you can remain bitter. You can say, oh, that son of a... You know, No, you say, okay, I'm going to make it a gift and tell him, you don't have to pay me back. Because I know you can't, you know. And then now I gave you a gift, I'll get blessed back, and that person is blessed because they received a gift now instead of a loan. Everybody's happier for it. But say, you know, you did something to hurt me. I'm going to do you a favor and forgive you. Well, maybe, what if you don't even accept my forgiveness? I'm going to forgive you anyway. You know? Because the Word of God says to do so. And it's not even as they deserve it, you know, or not as even as it wasn't that bad a thing that they did anyway. It's even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And when God, for Christ's sake, forgave you, it's because it was paid, right? Did God forgive you because what you did really wasn't that awful? No. Everything that you did that was against God was paid for. The penalty was paid in full. That's why you're forgiven. Now, how about that other believer? Was that penalty paid for? What about the thing that they did that hurt you personally? Did Christ pay that penalty also? Yeah. Christ paid the penalty for when that person hurt you. So, for Christ's sake, God forgave you. So, for Christ's sake, you forgive the others for Christ's sake, you know? Use that expression, oh, for Christ's sake. But think of that in a good way. Yeah. For Christ's sake, because he died for you, I'm going to forgive you. And I'll do anything I can to bless you. I'll do anything I can to help you. Because Christ gave his life for you. He considered you worth it. He considered you of great value. And you are of great value to him. You are of great value to him now and in the ages to come, when we'll all have, you know, we won't have the problems that we have right now. We won't have the issues that we're dealing with right now. After God wipes away all tears and there's no more sorrow, crying, or any more pain, we'll all be there. We're not there yet. But in the meantime, we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, is it in you to do this? It is, and I'll tell you why. Romans 5. See, this kindness is part of love. If we had more time, which we don't, I'd read 1 Corinthians 13. But it says that love, charity, love is, suffers long and is kind, right? So kindness is part of love. It's included in the package. It's a characteristic of love. In Romans 5, in page 1586, verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The word shed abroad means poured out, like water, but into your hearts. It's the love of God has been poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? When you were born again, right? When you confessed Jesus as Lord, believed that God raised him from the dead. That Holy Spirit was poured into your heart. The love of God was poured into your heart at that time. So the ability to love is within you from the time that you're born again. God put his DNA in you, spiritually speaking. Everything that God is, all the qualities of God are now inside of you. The ability to love is within you. Now, how do you learn how? We're told to do it. We're told what love does. We're told that love is kind. What if I feel like it's just not part of my makeup? Well, we learn that it is because it's been given to you. It's like part of the seed that was planted in you. How do you get the instruction? I'll show you a really cool verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the same chapter that talks about the gathering together. Page 1664, and look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And this is written to brand new believers. I mean, they weren't necessarily little kids, but they're people that believed. Right? After Paul and Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica, shared the word of God, they were chased out of town by the Jews that didn't believe. Some of them were Jewish that believed, and some were Gentiles. And they stood, even though Paul was chased out of town, they didn't say, oh, he must have been a bad guy. They said, no, he really was an apostle of God. Maybe other folks don't like him, but what he gave us, we still have. And he wrote this letter back to him. And he said in verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You are taught of God to love one another. God himself, your Father, now that you're born again, is able to communicate with you. And God teaches his children how to love one another. It's just a matter, are we going to listen? Right? Are we going to hear? Are we going to do what he says? But he's going to do his part. He's going to teach you. Through his word, through the example of people in the Word, the example of people that you know, and by the Spirit within you, encouraging you, showing you what to do. Listen to the manifestations of the Spirit that we... How many times does God talk about his love for us and encourage us to love? Like, every time?
A lot.
Yeah. I love you with an everlasting love. He reminds us all the time. He's not like Billy Joel that said, I said I love you, that's forever. Remember? It's like, I said it once, you're supposed to remember it. Don't expect me to keep saying it. For crying out loud. God tells us over and over. He keeps reminding us that it is forever, right? But you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And there's another verse in 2 Thessalonians that kind of reiterates this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the Alex verse this morning. I didn't send that to Mike yet. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. This is the verse from Alex. I said, this is cool. I'll use this in my teaching. It's actually very kind of Alex to do that every day, you
it
know?
It is, yeah.
And it's useful. He makes himself useful to others. He's sitting in a wheelchair. He can't walk, but he does what he can do, mm-hmm. Right? He will walk. But until then, he's not waiting until he gets healed before he makes himself useful to others. Anyway, this verse says, and the Lord, verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Two things. God does more than that, but two things in this verse that are really powerful. That the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. So you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's not just a passive thing, it's an active thing. It says God is working within you to will and do of his good pleasure. That's a continuous action on God's part to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God's good pleasure is for us to love one another. We've seen that, right? He will teach you. He will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So that when Christ does come back, you can look back on your lives and say, yeah, I did walk in love. You know? When Christ comes back, it's not just, okay, I'm so glad I'm out of here. But you will be rewarded for the things that you did since you were born again. You know? Assuming there's things that you did well are worthy of reward, but that's for God to judge, not for you or I to judge, right? That's for God to judge. But when Christ comes back, you know, he'll be able to say, well done. Yeah. You did what I wanted you to do, which is to love one another. He's not necessarily looking for great accomplishments that were recognized in the eyes of everybody. But if you loved other people and were kind, that is worthy of great reward. Because that's doing what he told you to do. Right? So the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And it takes patience sometimes. Sometimes people just push your buttons. They get you mad. They irritate you. But it says, just let all that bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor be taken away from you. Ask God, take this away from me. You know, bitterness, anger, wrath. He will. Because it says, let it be put off from you or taken away from you. And that's in the passive. So, he will do that for you. And then what's left is for you to be kind. And he will help you with that. He will instruct you in the situation. Sometimes, you know, the scriptures cover really all the situations in general, but sometimes you need help in the individual situation, in the details. That's where the Spirit of God, having it, and God being able to talk to you, always have your ears open to God. It might be the thing that seems so insignificant, maybe very easy for you to do, but relieves a big burden for somebody else. Sometimes it's the small things that have a big impact. The kind word that you say, that little thing that you do. Sometimes it might take tremendous effort and be appreciated very little. You know, it can go either way, but we're not to judge according to how much work it's going to be. We're just supposed to do whatever it is that God would have us do, right? And if we don't do it, what's the penalty? You miss out on a blessing. Somebody else misses out on a blessing. You cause God grief. If you do it, what's the benefit? Great joy. Knowing that you're pleasing your Father, the things that come back to you for giving out that which is good, the joy you see in the face of the other person, the appreciation, you know. It, again, sometimes it's not appreciated immediately. Sometimes the appreciation is not expressed. Sometimes you might even get resentment initially, but maybe they think about it, yeah, that person, they really were kind. They might not ever tell you. But you know, you did the will of God. You did what was right. At the gathering together, those things will be brought to light. The hidden things of darkness that will enable you to get praise of God before other people, then that's when it's going to matter the most. So that's why we should let God direct our hearts into the love of God and into that patient waiting for Christ. Your labor is never in vain in the Lord, right? It's all going to be worthwhile. And so we have the ability, we have the instructions, we have the encouragement. And it's just a matter of the doing. Okay? So thank you, dear Father, for the great truth of your word, for showing us your heart of love and compassion and kindness, and that you have put it within us, made it possible for us, and that day by day and moment by moment you actually do teach us and guide us into the love and that we can do. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name, the one who did it so well, so perfectly, that we have him as our example and have him living within us to help us. We thank you in his great name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
You did it, bud.